The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 7th of November, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Neil Ricketts, Chief Executive Officer of Vesarion, and Neil talks about the memorandum of understanding they've signed with Tongshu Optoelectronic Technology, covering a cooperation between the parties, particularly focused on graphene industrialization. I also have on David Sikthatira, Executive Chairman of Live Company Group, LVCG, and David gives an update on their operations live from Korea. He's a very busy man. Plus, I have James Campbell, Managing Director of Botswana Diamonds, BOD, and James discusses how their Thorny River project in South Africa is advancing towards diamond production. Plus, as always, I have two lists, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see top tens of both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk.
If you're looking to diversify your portfolio and allocate to unquoted companies, Rockball, one of our sponsors, offers growth equity and high-yield lending for established and profitable private companies. Investing can be tax-efficient, and Rockball Services is based on thorough due diligence and continual company monitoring. Capital at risk. Visit rockball.uk.com or call 0203 8548 100.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Neil Ricketts, Chief Executive Officer of Vesarion. That's VRS ticker. Neil, thanks for joining me again.
Good morning, Justin. How are you?
Good, thanks. So you've got an MOU signed with, excuse the pronunciation, Tongshu Optoelectronic Technology Limited. You can do that better than me, and we'll go into that in a bit. Yeah. Come on. So what, how do you pronounce that?
Tongshu.
Okay. And we'll go into that in a bit. And I'm going to skip the intro here, Nick, because, I mean, people, you've been on the 2 days ago, so people know about the company, hopefully. But explain what type of contract. So I did ask you about this, and you said basically you can split your agreements into three areas. So explain that, if you could.
Yeah, so the agreement we signed on Monday was more of a provincial, you know, that's a foundation block, you know, that is come to our province, we'll open up all the doors, we'll give you free facilities, we'll connect you with our contacts. Like, so from Qingdao, it's Hisense. I don't know if you've been into curries recently, but when you were a few years ago, if you'd go in there, you'd look at your usual Samsungs, but now there's an awful lot of Chinese manufacturers in there, and Hisense is one of the biggest ones. So they're based in Qingdao, and the Qingdao government will introduce us. The second type of agreement, which is the one today, which is really, really important, and the one that we've been really holding out for, is more of a commercial partnership. This is a large company. They're a manufacturer. They've got products they want to get to market quickly. They want access to our technology. They know that there are other they've chosen to enter into a contract with us, and it's a bit like David and Goliath. You know, this company is huge. It's an amazing achievement. We've been holding out for the right deal, as everyone knows, and this is the type of deal that we wanted. So if you go through the RNS, you'll see that there's a lot of detail in there.
Yeah, well, in fact, take us into some of it, highlight some of that detail that you think is the most relevant, if you could, Neil.
So the first thing that that pops up is that, you know, this is a commercial agreement across multiple different divisions that they've got. And the second part of it is that there's a funding requirement or a funding offer in there, and so that we'll work together to find opportunities both in China and in the UK, and then we'll set up a fund to be able to invest in that. And then we've got the overall thing, which is, you know, introduction to their customers and so on. So it's a very, you know, it's a very complicated agreement to try to get agreed in the first place, but it gives us massive opportunities, you know. So there's lots of projects, there's lots of opportunity for us to leverage Tongshu's connections and contacts with local government. It's a really far-reaching and really, really important development for our company.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what, I mean, you know, some of these agreements, collaborations, especially in different countries, especially in China, can take a while. So what do you hope will be next, and when are you hoping it'll happen, Neil?
You know, in terms of timelines, it's always a little bit more difficult. The guys are really, really enthusiastic. You know, we need to make sure we've got the right resources. We need to make sure that we support these projects as we move forward. That can be a bit difficult because we've got to assess them all and prioritize them. But in this case, we prioritize this one. So it's just a case now of us going through our normal process, but with a partner. You know, that's about identifying the opportunities. A lot of it is around thermal management. A lot of it is around lighting systems. It's around displays, energy storage. You know, it goes across to the whole of our business. So it's Cambridge Graphene, you know, our spin out from the University of Cambridge, 2D Tech, our spin out from the University of Manchester, and also Nanomat, which is obviously based out in Spain and doing energy storage stuff. So the other thing is it enables us to really cement our relationship with our own government. So not only are we getting introductions to these foreign governments, but actually we can now go back to our foreign governments and say, actually, we've got commercial traction here. We've got these guys that are really interested. The provincial agreements are really, really important, and they lay the foundations for our much bigger strategy about being involved in a lot of China. But this commercial one makes a big difference to the way that we actually sell it. It's also a huge amount of due diligence involved in making sure that the products we got are the best products. Mm-hmm. There's a very, very nice quote from Mr. Wang, who's the chairman. And, you know, he's basically saying that we're a leading company and operator in the graphene field, and that, that you know, they have a huge market potential. So for our investors, it's a, you know, a really positive day.
Yeah, yeah. And I always like to ask you where you are, because whenever I ask you, you're in different locations. So where are you? Are you in this country today? What's happening?
Yeah, yeah. I am actually on my way to the airport, but I'm picking up one of our good friends and supporters, Sorin, who's an MEP. He's flying into the country today to see the outstanding work that that the team's done, not only from an educational point of view with our school down in Berkeley, but also in terms of some of our outreach programs and how this can be mirrored and expanded across Europe. So a really great day for us, and looking forward. Just hope that that they've sorted out the problems at Heathrow, where he's flying
landing
into,
lights, so. Or something. So there's landing strip lights, apparently. So, but I assume now, because it's daylight, this we should be fine. I don't know how it works. If it's that simple, I don't know. But yes, I don't know. Do you know what? I'm going to ask you that again in future. Where are you? Because that's quite interesting, that story behind there. Marvellous. Neil, one final thing. If someone's listening to this, not following the story, go on, give them those quick three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Okay, so the first one is technologically, we're in a great area. It's an expanding area. Our technology, the graphene technology and the two-dimensional materials, is an enabler for things like energy systems, electric vehicles, and a lot of the products that we use on a day-to-day basis. The second reason is that we're starting to get really, really good geographical reach. So the guys are working heavily in delivering now in China, and my focus is out in the US. And then the third thing is that I'm still the largest shareholder, and therefore my aims and aspirations are all in line with those of the long-term holders.
Marvellous stuff. Neil, good to chat to you as always, and no doubt we'll be chatting again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is David Ciclatera, Executive Chairman at Live Company Group. LVCG is the ticket. David, good to chat to you again.
Good evening. Good evening from Seoul. How are you doing?
I was going to say, where are you? Because I'm always at my desk, pretty much in my little office. But you, when I speak to you, I never know where you are. So you're in Seoul, are you?
Yeah, I'm in Seoul.
And how's it going there?
It's
what are you up to there?
It's evening time here. It's six in the evening.
Yeah, listen, well, I've had first-hand experience now because I went to the NEC, and we'll talk about that in a bit, of what you're all about, well, not everything you're about, but part of some of your operations there. But for people still not familiar, David, give them a summary. Live Company Group, what are you all about, please?
Live Company Group is a company on AIM that owns Bricklife brand, and also owns a company called Bright Bricks. Bricklife is a global entertainment and education kids brand that is based around bricks. We have exhibitions, we have cafes, we have permanent centres. We're in 50 cities around the world. Recently, we announced the acquisition of a company called Bright Bricks. Bright Bricks is the world's largest builder of brick models, Lego-based models. We also have a joint venture in the United States for the BrickLive brand, which is called Parallel 360. We'll come back to that a little bit later in this podcast.
Yeah, well, I went to one of your the events at the NEC, the BrickLive event, with my two children and my wife there. And I got to say, we're good. I did a little video as well, which I put on the site. So people can see that on Vox. And it is amazing. When you go there, first of all, you don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, you start getting stuck into stuff. And you realize it's really creative. Time flies. You're very in the moment. It's very cathartic. You know, I really enjoy just building stuff. And just before you know it, an hour has passed, 2 hours have passed, you know? And we're there like 5 hours. I only tend to be there for three or 4 hours, and 5 hours had gone, and the kids didn't want to leave. I had to drag them away from there. So it's I really enjoyed it. The kids really enjoyed it. And you can see what the appeal is massive, you know?
Well, that's kind of what I felt when it's not so long ago now, but it's 2 years ago when I went to that first show and bought into this business, because I looked at all audience and you're right, the dwell time is sort of like 5-6 hours, and the parents get as much out of it as I think the kids do, and but they just, you're right, don't want to leave. And you see them in those brick pits, for example, simple thing really, 250,000 bricks in a brick pit, and they just are building away. It's a screen light creative project, and it never ceases to amaze me. The amazing thing is, if I went to a show in Japan, or I went to a show in Thailand, or I went to a show in Europe, or anywhere really, it's exactly the same. You know, it's just it's a universal language, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, how many? I mean, I know you're in 51 countries. So, how many shows are there like that, then, David, around the world at the moment?
There are basically around. Because obviously we're in 50, there's 51 activities in the year, and so of that size, and the NEC is a pretty big show. You know, there was one in Switzerland. The show that's come up in America will be a big show. There's about half a dozen of those big shows, and then there is, for example, in Japan, we have 8 shows in Japan. We are about to launch a new series of shows in Southeast Asia. So each region has different sized shows, but you know they're growing in number. But you must remember that we've also got this BrickLive touring, which in China, for example, has this Animal Paradise. It's just finished in Beijing. It's moving to its next city. It's doing 20 cities over a 3-year period. And that is basically 70 animals with brick pits and this, that, and the other. It's a different format to the one you went to.
Yeah. And so, you're heading towards, like you said, you're in Asia and you're in America. What's happening in America? Because I know you've hooked up with
actually,
two of the biggest companies.
It's quite exciting. In fact, you know, it's very exciting. On Monday night, Dallas Cowboys were playing a game at home, I suppose, and we were announced during the game, the BrickLive show that's taking place at the end of January. And tickets went on sale yesterday, and I think there's huge amount of promotion around Dallas right now for the show and the tickets. I think there's online, there's a whole load of these are being sent out today, so your listeners can see it. It's Live Nation's our partner, and they're, as you know, the largest event company in the world. So they've made commercials. They've kind of got big screens around town in Dallas. I mean, it's probably the most sophisticated. Well, not probably. It is the most sophisticated marketing platform we've ever been involved in. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, where's the limit here, then, David? I mean, it seems this could be, you know, have appeal anywhere in the world, couldn't it?
Well, it definitely can have an appeal anywhere. Well, I think it's all about. You just remember, our model is we don't promote our own shows. Mm-hmm. We promote with partners. We're basically a content provider. being paid a license fee and a content fee. So I think we're a very small company. We're not like thousands of people. We also only launched the company just over a year ago, and we've only been on AIM since last December. So it's a matter of continuing to build the network and obviously build the content. The acquisition of Brightbricks has really been a fantastic thing for the company. I'm out here in Asia. I think we've done, since I arrived in Seoul on Monday, we've probably had half a dozen major meetings. And the interesting thing now is we're not just talking about exhibitions. We're really talking about the provision of content, brick-related content, to areas where there is existing traffic. So that could be a theme park, it could be a zoo, it could be a mall out in Korea. Korea's been a very important market to us because it's where we've incubated a lot of the ideas that we now run with. For example, the first BrickLive Kids Cafe was launched here in the summer. Interesting, these zoos, you know, because Brightbricks had this idea. I can't claim the idea, it was theirs, to basically provide Lego-based animals to zoos. I think we're now got contracts for 10 zoos. We announced the other day we're going to do a zoo in Chicago. When I sat and talked to the people here in Seoul about putting our BrickLive based animals in zoos, they're super excited. And I think, you know, it just doesn't stop. You know, you're limited by the imagination and how many hours you've got in the day to talk to people.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the Dallas Cowboys there. I mean, you know, is that the first hookup with a sports sort of franchise? And do you intend to do more, with other sports franchises?
Well, that's very interesting. Yes, it's the first hookup with a sports franchise. But obviously in America, sport is... Well, like many things American, sport is the most sophisticated. I used to spend my life in promoting sports events, and America was always the best run sports events. But the concept of now working with NFL clubs or NHL or whatever, that's, I think, very much in Live Nation's mind, because obviously, the good thing is all the facilities are there and their fan bases are. In America, the fan bases are very well organized, the merchandising, the marketing. I think if you look at our site now, there is a BrickLiveUSA.com, I think that's the name, John, of the site. If people want to look up BrickLiveUSA.com, which is the Dallas site, we are, but that's another thing, we are now getting involved with the club in the merchandise. So there are a couple of helmets, you know, the NFL helmets on that site. And for the first time, we're launching our own kits. So basically, the VIP bags for the VIP consumers of the Dallas show have inside them kits that kids can build of these helmets. So you, when you look at that, you go, my goodness, we've come a long way in 15, 16 months. Here are we. I mean, Dallas Cowboys, for those who don't know, is the number one sports franchise in the world. It's bigger than Man U. It's bigger than Real Madrid. It is the number one. So to be working with them, it's number one in Dallas and number two in every other city in America. So the BrickLive as a brand, you have to think back, the BrickLive as a brand only was launched just under 2 years ago. That's quite extraordinary, I think. And everybody forgets that we own that brand, and that brand is owned by the company, obviously Live Company. And so it's not licensed or something. We own the brand, and that has a value in itself, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And Do you know what? I read an article recently about building and bricks and building and Lego, and it says very cathartic. They're advising women to take it up because it de-stresses them, calms them down, has less anxiety. And I sort of felt that. It's very in the moment, isn't it?
Well, it's like, do you remember a couple of years ago, there were all these colouring in books that adults were getting hold of and doing it. Mm-hmm. I think Lego bricks is the ultimate, it is. And it's not just for kids, it's for adults. I think for adults, it's relaxing. For kids, you think about it, there wasn't a single instruction book for your kids to follow. They were in sort of free zone there, building without instruction, letting their creative genes flow. And somebody uses this expression, screen light. There were no telephones, no phones in the NEC. They're all actively getting involved in something creative, which I think is great.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what? I did have someone on Twitter saying they went there. They would like some more instruction as to what to do. And I said no. I like the beauty of just getting on with it. And my kids didn't feel they needed instruction. They just jumped in the pit and went crazy, and then wouldn't stop building. You know, so I quite like that free flow of creativity.
So they would go back, your kids, would they? They would go back in a heartbeat.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Like I said, you know, we had to travel up for about 2.5 hours to get there, and so we couldn't stay right to the end because we didn't want to get back. But they would.
There's going to be a show over Christmas in Monaco. You'll have to bring your kids.
Yeah. That'll be a long commute. Anyway, so David, yeah, it was excellent. I really enjoyed it. But listen, for people, talking about stocks and shares here, for people, I always do this, a call to action for people listening. If they're listening to this now, likes the sound of it, but are not yet following the company, give them three quick reasons, and I know you're a big stockholder yourself, why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
We own the brand. We've just bought a company that enables us to build more, do more, and we're global.
Excellent stuff, David. Excellent. And like I said, you're very busy, so no doubt we'll be chatting again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and so happy that you enjoyed the weekend.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is James Campbell, Managing Director of Botswana Diamonds. BOD is the ticker there. James, thanks for joining me again.
Good morning, Justin. Lovely to be here.
Yes, well, I don't know where you are. Where are you at the moment, James?
No, I'm in South Africa, which is home to one of our flagship projects, working in the field and meeting new investors, potential new investors, and of course, planning new projects.
Yeah, well, tell us about, summarize, for people not familiar with Botswana Diamonds, you said one of your projects there. Take us through an overview of everything going on, please.
Botswana Diamonds PLC is listed on the London AIM market and also the Botswana Stock Exchange in Gaborone. And we're very firmly focused on exploring and diamond development projects in Southern Africa, chiefly being Botswana, South Africa, and Zimbabwe. If I briefly start with Botswana, we have two joint ventures there. The first one with Alrosa, exploring in the central Kalahari of that country. And the second one with BCL, also exploring in the Kalahari of Botswana. Then if I move to South Africa, we have an earn-in arrangement with a company called Batomi Mining Pty Limited. And that's got a number of different projects. The Thorny River, which I'll talk about in more detail in a moment. The rediscovery of kimberlites in the Free State. These are kimberlites which were last mined in the 1880s and 1890s. Botswana Diamonds has rediscovered these and are developing these projects. And then we have two other kimberlites, being Palmitkat and Mooikloof in the Limpopo province of South Africa. And then finally, in Zimbabwe, we have a joint venture with another AIM company, this being Vast Resources PLC, where we recently announced a joint venture, firstly to look at the Marangi diamond fields, and then secondly to explore and develop diamond prospects across the rest of Zimbabwe.
Excellent stuff. Yes, well, let's go into this, because you've announced some news there that you're advancing towards diamond production, and this is your Thorny River project in South Africa. Take us through what's happening here, if you could, James.
Yes, I could. Thorny River has long been the flagship of the Vitomi venture in South Africa. Thorny River is approximately 50 kilometers east of Mokopane in South Africa, which is about 3 hours north of Johannesburg on a good tar road. What is famous about the Thorny River environment is that it's actually host to the Maasfontein diamond mine, which probably has the fastest payback of any diamond mine in the world. This was about 3.5 days. And it was a joint venture between De Beers and Southern Era Resources, Inc. Botswana Diamonds, through its venture Vitomi, has acreage to the east of Maasfontein, which are essentially high-grade kimberlite dikes. And we have done a considerable amount of work during the course of last year, which include percussion drilling, core drilling, micro-diamond work, and then concluding with bulk sampling work. And later this year, we did a technical and economic evaluation report to look at how we could commercialize this venture. And the purpose of the press release we put out this morning is that we have signed an agreement, a contract, with a company called Paleo Mining Pty Limited. And what they are going to be doing for us is they are going to be bulk sampling the kimberlite dikes and processing the kimberlite. And Botswana Diamonds, through its venture Vitomi, will be collecting 12% of the revenue with no capital outlay on the project itself. This has two major advantages. The first major advantage is that essentially we self-fund the development of an inferred and indicated resource. And secondly, it'll provide revenue for further exploration on the Thorny River project and elsewhere.
Yeah, so it's a sort of win-win situation. So just to get this right, so Paleo Minerals will be bulk sampling, and like you say, they're assuming positive results. You're hoping to get what? Royalties between 2 and 7 million annually, is that right?
That's correct,
that's
Justin.
That's US dollars, of course, yeah.
That's correct, and diamonds are sold in US dollars, and that's why we've denominated it in US dollars. And one must set that against our typical annual cash burn of around £1 million per annum, which covers our exploration costs and our overheads across Southern Africa.
Yeah, okay. So when that starts, you'll be sort of self-funding then, I suppose.
That is the plan, Justin. Absolutely, yes.
Okay, good stuff. Excellent stuff. Well, James, I mean that estimate there, it's quite a big estimate from 2 to 7 million. How do you know, how do you estimate that? How do you arrive at those figures?
Justin, it's a very good question. Now, because we don't have an inferred resource and we have only taken it up to a deposit level, when we wrote up the competent person's report for this project, which we did in December of last year, we gave grade and value ranges. We gave a grade range of between 46 and 74 carats per 100 tons, and a diamond value range of between $120 and $220 per carat. So the calculation of between $2 and $7 million is really quite simple. It's based on an anticipated processing target of 30,000 tons per month. The lower end is the lower grade multiplied by the lower value, and the higher end is the higher grade multiplied by the higher value. Now, according to SAMREC, which is one of the resource codes which we ascribe to, if you haven't got a resource and only a deposit, you have to quote ranges in grades and diamond values.
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent stuff. Well, it sounds very interesting. It sounds very unique. Well, I don't know if it's unique, but it's an excellent workaround there on how to attain revenue. So, James, if someone's listening right now, likes the sound of what you're doing here, but are not following the story, go on, give them the three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Absolutely, Justin. The first one is diamonds, the strongest recovering commodity post the global financial crisis and the least volatile. And that's a fairly unknown point. The second one is Southern Africa, being Zimbabwe, Botswana and South Africa, is the most prolific diamond producing area in the world. And the corollary to that being the third point is it is also one of the most underexplored for various geopolitical reasons, and Botswana Diamonds is the most active explorer and developer in the region.
Excellent stuff, James. Good to chat to you. Hopefully we'll be catching up again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Hope so too, Justin. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Rehoboth Resources, RBD. At four, UtilityWise, UTW. And it's a very risky stock. This is my worst performer. And I don't see why people are following or investing. I mean, it was something to do with... You can see my video. I've released a video, actually, about this, my diary of an investor. But ex-founder and CEO Jeff Thompson sold out his entire holding yesterday, 6% of the company. And in a low-volume stock, this is a phenomenal amount. It's like $500,000, and it knocked the share price crazy. But he's fully out, and so hopefully one of the big sellers gone. But they've had their troubles. And this is a company that could go bust, could go crazy. And that's the risk, you know. At three, Bahamas Petroleum Company, most followed. At two, Premier African Minerals, PREM. And number one most followed company is Tupol, T-O-O-P. Released an update today. Of course, they flew yesterday, but they're back down 11%. They're up by 24% yesterday, down 11% today. On their sort of trading update. Okay, most liked harnesses are as follows. At five, Primoris Investments, Engage Technology Investor Update. Yeah, I'm not into investment companies, but I like what they're doing. I did take a bit of stock in Primoris, and that company they're investing in, Engage Technology, looks like it's going great guns at the moment. At four, 88 Energy, Operations Update. At three, Highlands Natural Resources, Update on Colorado Shale Operations. At two, Visarian, MOU with Tungshu Optoelectronic Technology. I just had Neil on the podcast. And number one, Ascent Resources Corporate Update, AST. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.